This is the Legacy Minded Leadership Podcast, and we're your hosts, James and Maria Collins.
We are on a mission to help you answer the divine call in your life, to experience transformation for God's glory, and to advance His kingdom.
The world needs more people who are confident in their identity and are living intentionally to fulfill their life's mission.
Your legacy depends on you leading yourself well and taking action towards a clear vision for your life.
Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will."
We are here to help you renew your mind so you can stop chasing the things of this world and start living a purpose-driven life that is uniquely yours.
We want you to experience abundance in all areas of your life, but it's not just about you. It's about leaving a legacy that endures far beyond your time on earth.
God has entrusted you with unique gifts. You get one life to use those gifts to leave a lasting impact for generations to come.
Your legacy begins now.
Welcome to the Legacy Minded Leadership Podcast. We are your hosts, James and Maria Collins. Today we were talking about time management. Have you ever find yourself saying, "There's not enough time in the day to accomplish all the things I have to do"? Do you feel like you're busy all the time? Do you ever feel like you don't have time to do the things you want to do? Those are common feelings out there. I have felt like that many times. Jim Rohn says, "Time is your most valuable asset." Yep, we tend to waste it, kill it, and spend it rather than invest it. We are here today to help you find different ways to invest in your time and stop wasting it.
That's right.
As soon as you spend your time, you can never get it back. Time is free, but it's priceless.
That's right. You mentioned a Jim Rohn quote. I'm going to throw one out from Harvey McKay. I love this quote. He says, "Time is free, but it's priceless. You can't own it, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. And once you've lost it, you can never get it back."
That's right.
So time management is about taking control of your time, being intentional about planning and how you're going to spend your time, and spending it on the tasks that are going to be most rewarding, most impactful, and figuring out how to use your time most efficiently towards the goals that you've set for yourself. The last episode we just talked about last week was goal setting, and we tacked time management onto the back end of that one, because you could have the greatest goals in the world set for yourself, but inevitably there's going to be obstacles, there's going to be competing priorities, whether they're your own or somebody else's, that are putting demands on you that are going to make time management and how you manage your day to day difficult or challenging. And so we want to offer some suggestions and some tips to our listeners to help you manage your time better and be more efficient and effective.
Yeah, and the key word you used, it was control, right? Take control of your time. Whose time is it? It's yours. So if other people are taking control, it's because you're giving them the control. Here today, you got to become aware it's your time. What you do with it, it's your responsibility. Don't blame other people for you not having time. It's okay to say no to some things and focus on what you need to focus on.
Yeah, because if you don't take control, somebody else is going to.
Yeah, and it's funny because I spend a lot of time helping my clients to organize their time, organize their schedule, to accomplish more, right? And you don't have to accomplish more. You just have to do more of what matters the most to you, right? We just talk about setting goals. What are the things that are going to take you closer to your goal? If they're not, they're not a priority and you shouldn't be doing them right now. Do you ever find yourself saying, "I don't have time. There's not enough hours in the day"? Sometimes I say that with kids.
I say that one a lot. I hear that one a lot.
You hear that one a lot? Oh, I can't focus on what I need to because I'm always serving others.
Moms say that a lot.
Yeah, when you have a lot of kids, or maybe two, or maybe one, they do require a lot of you.
Or maybe one husband who acts like a kid.
That too. I wish I would have more time for ... What would you put in that phrase?
I wish I had more time for sleep.
Well, that's your time.
Yeah, we got to take control, right?
Exactly. I know I need to organize my schedule, but who has time to do that? You cannot afford not to invest time in organizing your schedule, because that's where everything comes out of your time. I remember for the first time when I heard somebody saying, I plan my whole year. Everything's on my schedule. I remember I was shocked, literally. I was like, how? This is so boring. You don't even let life happen. You just plan everything. No, that is the smartest way of doing, because after I took the time to sit down and start putting stuff on my calendar, life becomes so much easier. And after having kids, and then you don't manage one schedule. I kind of manage three schedules here in our house, four schedules with mine. And it's so many different things coming at me at the same time. If I don't have things, and I put it like, when I say everything, even the time I need to leave my house to go pick up my kids, it's on my schedule, because I might be working and focused and forget about it. So alarms will pop up on times that I need to do certain things, and then I will go do it.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I always say, if it's not on my calendar, it's not getting done, because I have to be very specific in putting exactly what I'm going to be spending my time on. I do it in 15-minute increments throughout my day, and I do that on purpose so that I can make sure that the most important things are on the calendar, because if they're there, they'll get done. If they're not, chances are they won't.
Which calendar? Is it the work calendar or your personal calendar?
My work calendar.
Okay. Because your personal calendar is not like that. Let me tell you. I'm the one saying it's not in my calendar. That's not happening.
Yeah, I do. I schedule most of my days. I don't do it in 15-minute increments outside of my work calendar. But for those 9 hours a day, they're scheduled in 15-minute increments. So let's talk about the why behind time management. Obviously, anybody listening here, you've probably struggled with time management at some point or another in your life. You're likely struggling with it at some point, even today. Every day can be a challenge. Every week can be a challenge for folks, because again, there's just so many competing demands on our time. And some of them are self-imposed. Some of them come from outside influences. But there's never a shortage of things to be done, or things that folks want from us or need from us. And so if we're not very intentional about managing our time, it can get away from us very quickly. And the benefits of being really good at how you manage your time is you have less stress. You have more freedom with your time, you have higher productivity, and ultimately you perform better in every area of your life the better that you manage your time. But the flip side of that is always being busy, always feeling under pressure, where you're increasing your stress, increasing your anxiety. I talked about sleep before. It can have impacts on your sleep and cause sleep deprivation. And ultimately, it's just an unhealthy way to live. And so we want to talk today about some methodologies that folks can use to gain control of their time again and be more consistent in how you manage your time. But I want to use a real life example. And this is a recent example.
Hold on, before you go there, when you're talking about the benefits of managing your time, it had helped me as a mom, as a wife, as a professional to be able to be present whatever I am, because I'm not feeling guilt that I'm not spending time with my kids if I'm doing something for myself, because I know I have scheduled time to be with them after. If I'm trying to focus on a certain task or accomplishing something, creating something for work, and my brain is trying to tell me, oh, I gotta go do this, I know that I have a set time in my calendar to accomplish that task. If you don't, and you have told yourself, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to be here, I want to be there, your brain will be constantly trying to remind you of the things you have to do, because it's your brain and that's what it's going to do, unless you can tell yourself, I know where that is and I know when I'm going to get it done. We call it energy leak, and it's just leaking so much energy out of your brain and yourself, because every time you're trying to, have you ever tried to meditate and be quiet and you can't because your brain keeps telling you things you got to do, you got to do, you got to do? That means it's a big sign that it will be very helpful for you to have an organized schedule. Helps you set boundaries for other people coming and inviting you to do things that, you know, sometimes you might not know if you have some issues in saying no to people. When you have your priorities in your calendar already, it's so much easier for you to say, I already have plans for that time. I already have things that I have to accomplish at that time, so I won't be able to go, or I won't be able to do this for you. I won't be able to help you at this time. But then you have certain times that you have set to do those activities. You have set open, you have open to do the things that you want to do. So then, you know, you're taking care of yourself. You're taking care of what matters the most to you. You're making sure you're showing up completely wherever you are.
Yeah, that's good. So for me personally, I'm going to just get vulnerable and real with folks for a minute. About 3 weeks ago, I had the first panic attack of my life. And if you've ever had a panic attack, I'm sorry. I'd never had one prior to that. And I wouldn't wish it on anybody. But in reflecting back since then, I've recognized that poor time management and not having control over my time was a big reason or catalyst for the panic attack that I had. And it's one of the reasons that we sat down to plan out this episode and to help explain time management methodologies to folks, is because it is such a crucial element of our lives, especially in today's society. Again, there's just so many demands on our time if we allow there to be. And if we're not intentional about managing our time, about getting clear on where our time goes, about prioritizing and learning to say no, or not now, or not me, to the things that don't fit within our priorities, then we can end up in a state where our mental capacity is diminished and we have a physiological response to poor planning and poor management of our time. That for me came from some self-imposed opportunities where I just overextended myself and signed up to do too much. But there were also competing priorities from others around me. Mostly when I look at my professional life, I'm on a team where I've got several peers who are, they manage support teams that support the operation that I lead. And almost every initiative or project that their team works on either impacts my team or needs to be in direct coordination with my team in order to achieve the initiatives and projects on their plate. And what I recognized for us as a team through this is that we weren't very good at prioritizing those initiatives and projects across the team. So I'd have my list of priorities and my peers would each have theirs, but there are a lot of interdependencies within those. And so what it added up to is all of us having our own demands on our time that we'd placed, but also demanding time from each other. And it just got to the point where there was too much going on there were too many balls in the air and we just couldn't keep it going. And so we all had to take a collective step back and do a better job of communicating our goals, getting back to understanding the why, what's most important for us, and then prioritizing and working together better to execute on what we agreed on was most important. So we all got to kind of take that breath and slow down to reset and manage our time collectively better. And we'll go into some of the techniques that we use to do that.
I remember when you were telling me the story and what was happening, right? The things you experienced. You were sharing something about you not setting some boundaries or not having, you were taking too much at a time. You weren't saying no to things. Mm-hmm. You were just accepting and letting everything come to you without filtering or saying, not me, not no, not now. Right, or things like that. And to come into the panic attack, that is the tip of the iceberg, right? There's so much that had built up mm-hmm. into that point for you to get to that state, which is what was happening in your mind at the time and what were you thinking, what were you focusing on. So what do you think was your thought process at mm-hmm. the time when the panic attacked? What were you focusing on?
I was focused on everything that I couldn't do in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I was focused on the sheer weight of it all and feeling like it was a heavier burden that I could carry.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the big revelations for me coming out of that was, well, two things. Number one, I had said yes and tried to just do everything in my power to manage whatever came at me because I was trying to manage perceptions. I wanted to be seen by my peers as a team player. I wanted to be seen as supportive of the broader organization. And I wanted to be seen as a leader among my peers and somebody who could take it on all on. But the other thing that I recognize for myself, and I think a lot of men struggle with this, men don't like to show weakness.
Mm.
And I recognize that for myself and having conversation, a very open, honest conversation with my boss afterwards about it. I told her flat out that I hadn't communicated my concerns that led up to that to her effectively. And I recognized that the reason I didn't do that is because I didn't want to show weakness. I didn't want to admit to her that I couldn't handle it all.
Mm-hmm.
But the sheer fact is we had signed up to do too much and we were trying to carry too much at once. And it was bound to fail sooner or later. And it took me having the physiological reaction and experience that I had to hit the pause button for the entire team. And once I did that and I started having honest conversations with the people around me, every single one of them started coming out and acknowledging the exact same feelings within themselves and feeling like we've signed up to do too much. We're trying to carry too much at once. We haven't done a very good job of prioritizing and executing. And again, it helped us all to take a step back and do just that. Start planning out and start having the right conversations about what should take precedence right now. And what is the real time commitment mm-hmm. that each of these initiatives or projects is going to take from each one of us so that we can draw a line in the sand and say, I don't have any more capacity beyond this. So this is where we need to draw that line. And these are the only things that we're going to focus on for now. When these things are accomplished, when they're done, then we can come back together again and talk about what comes next. But trying to do it all at once doesn't work.
Yes, that's a really good point. You can't do it all at once. That's why time management is important, right? We'll focus on this now. As soon as this is done, we will go focus on the next step. So then again, you can be present. You can be focused. You will not feel overwhelmed trying to do more than you're capable of at that moment.
Yeah. So I want you to lead us into the how on this and how we gain better control over our time. And I'm going to ask you to kick it off because you actually have a chapter in your book around this.
Yes.
And so I think you've got a lot of wisdom that you can draw from there. But obviously you had that wisdom going into writing the book. And so why don't you share with the audience what they can do to start taking more control over their time?
Yes. In my book, The Joy of Becoming, I do talk about, right, it's first about becoming clear of your vision and then assessing the life that you have. And assessing the life that you have, one of the exercises that I have in my book, it's about auditing your time, which means you start noting, journaling what you do. And I do this pretty often with clients when they are, you know, lost, overwhelmed, or they keep telling me they don't have time. So then I say, let's audit your time. Let's see what you actually do with your time. So you journal what you do from the time that you wake up to the time that you go to sleep every hour of your day for a whole week. Just by writing those things down before they even bring it back to me, they have a big realization of how are they wasting their time and big time. So when they come back, the conversation, it's very different, right? The things that they used to tell me, I don't have time, it changes into, I actually do have time, right? And then another thing I talk about when I'm helping, especially women, with time management is you can create little pockets of time throughout the day to do the things you want to do it. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to have a whole set of many hours of accomplishing something. That's what we talked about in creating habits as well. Start is small and grow into that time. If you don't have a big time available for it, create those small pockets and grow that more and more. As soon as you finish one of the priorities, you can grow into that time, right? So you're always replacing your time and filling your time with the things that matters the most to you.
Yeah. So auditing your time, what that's about is about awareness. And we talk about this a lot in multiple podcasts prior to this. We talk about awareness being the first step toward operating with excellence, or the first step toward success in any area, or the first step towards making a positive change in your life. It's about awareness. And if you don't take that time to really assess where your time is going and bring your awareness to that, it's hard to fix it. It's hard to find those pockets of time that you're talking about. It's hard to identify areas where we're wasting time or we're letting time leak out in our day if we're not being intentional about tracking that.
Yes. Another thing, right? The second step I usually go into is like, when do you have your brain power, right? When you're most alert? When are you creative? When can you act in your most powerful levels in your brain? Those are the times when you got to schedule the most important tasks and goals that you have for that day. So what are those? Identify those times, right? Understand who you are, how your body works, and focus on that. One example that I have about that is last week I was talking to a client and she was, you know, we were talking about her book and writing her book, and I asked her, when are you going to do it? And what time, what date and what time? And she said, oh, I would do it every day at 6 p.m. And she has a full-time job. So I know for me, my brain power in the end of the day is zero. I can do dishes. I can do what my body needs to do without me thinking very well. But if I have to be creative, and it is harder for me, it takes a lot more energy than what it would do it in the morning. And so I asked her, after a full day of working, how are you going to be feeling at that time? How's your brain? Aren't you tired? What do you usually feel at 6 p.m. in your day? She's like, oh, that is a good point. I'm actually usually tired and things happened. And you know, that's why I always say, like, it is important. Make sure it's done first things in the morning, because things will happen, will get in the way. And the thing that you thought you want to get done the end of the day, it won't get done. If I don't exercise first thing in the morning, I guarantee you, I'm not going to be able to do it the rest of my day. That's why I do everything that I can to get that done
first thing in the morning. Another good point is to set 3 goals for the day. Again, going back to The Gap in the Game. That book is amazing. And he talks about setting 3 goals for you to achieve every day. 3 things. 3 things. If you have a vision, 3 things that's going to take you closer to the vision. What are 3 most important things that you can write it down you wanted to accomplish the next day? And that end of the day, you can look back and celebrate that you took the time and you were able to accomplish those things. So set what are your goals, how much you can handle, right? Set your priorities, create the clear roadmap that you're going to take, the steps that you're going to take to accomplish.
Yeah, I've started journaling that every day. I've used the Ivy Lee method. I learned from our friends Nick Service and Garrett Unkelbach, who have the Impossible Life podcast. They talk about this often there. It's a practice that both of them have used in the past that I've started to use as well, where Ivy Lee suggests that you journal every day, setting goals for your day, but then at the end of every day, journaling about how well you did against those goals and planning out your next day. So this is something that I do at work every day. At the end of my day, I assess the day that I just had and how well I executed against the goals that I set for myself, but I also set up the next day. And I put a list of 6 goals every day. These are the 6 tasks that must get completed the next day. If all else fails, these are the 6 things that have to be done. That way, when I go into my next day tomorrow, I don't have to spend time in the morning doing that planning. I know ahead of time, this is what I need to go tackle.
Yes, that's good. And going back to the vision, right? You have the long-term vision. So when you're talking about time management, plan as long as you can in that year, the things that you're going to accomplish, break it down into the 2 halves of the year and the 4 quarters of the year, each month of the year, and then weekly and daily. Like for us, for example, the first quarter of the year is so busy because all of our birthdays are in there. And then there, you know, other things like Easter, there's a lot of holidays that happen. So it's a very, very busy for us the first quarter of the year. And then we're done with all the celebrations in our house. But it makes a big difference because we got to plan financially for all the things we have to, we wanted to accomplish in that first quarter, time management and all of that. So it is important to understand what you want, like, our vacations, all the things that we want to do that year, how do we break it down and we organize everything? Again, make your goals, right? It's smart. Remember, smart goals are specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. We just talked about setting goals in our last episode before this one, so you can go ahead. If you haven't heard it yet, please do yourself a favor and go listen to that one as well. Another thing, right? The next step that I talk to clients a lot, and we were talking about here of time management, is like being able to focus. There are studies that show that we're not able to focus for longer hours, like longer than 1.5 hours. You need a break. So if you're doing work, type of work like creative, you're writing, you're doing things that you really need to focus, set a timer for 1.5 hours and then turn your phone off, turn everything off that you can and focus. You will get so much more done in that 1.5 hours than you could do the whole day with all the distractions. My friends know that if I'm working in the morning, they can text me. I will not look at the phone. My phone will ring a buzz if my kids schools and they need me. That's the only thing that will get me distracted from my work throughout my morning when I'm working. And then I have set the time when I'm done working. That's when I'm going to get my phone and look in the text messages and things that I need to respond, because then I'm present and fully there to respond, because many, many times things will come up and I will mentally respond to text messages or emails and that actually never went out. So in order for me to focus and be present and fully there to what I'm doing. That's what the way I do. And I help other clients do that all the time too, by setting the time to focus. If you don't have the whole hour and a half, again, start with what you have. There is other ways that you can manage your time. There's people that do 25 minutes blocks of time management, and then they rest for 5 minutes or 15 minutes and they go back. I like to do a little bit longer than that if I'm focusing and planning and creating things. But understand yourself, your brain power again, right? And then another way to help you is to set a reward for yourself after accomplishing the thing. So hour and a half, I'll do that, and then I can take a break and go have a snack, or I can take a break and call a friend, or I can take a break and go take a walk around the block. Do something that will reward you from doing that, staying focused for that period of time.
We talked about that in the habits episode as well. Yeah, and so the next tool that we'd like to share with you is called the Eisenhower Box, and this is one that I've used for quite a while. It's a pretty popular technique that gets shared a lot in corporate environments. It may be new to some of our listeners though, so we'll share this. And what I recommend you do is go just Google Eisenhower Box, and you'll get to see a visual that will help you understand what I'm going to do my best to explain audibly here. But essentially what you're doing with the Eisenhower Box is you're categorizing any task or ask or demand of your time based on what is urgent and important. So it's a 4-box diagram, and on the top, you've got on the left-hand side, urgent items, and on the right-hand side, not urgent. And then you've got 2 levels, and the first level is important, and the second level is not important. So essentially, you create 4 boxes. 1 box is urgent and important. 1 is not urgent and important. 1 is urgent but not important. And then the last one is not urgent and not important. And essentially what this does is if you can categorize every demand on your time within one of these 4 boxes, it gives you a very clear explanation of what to do with that task. If it's urgent and important, you need to get it done. So that's something that needs to be prioritized and worked on immediately. If it's not urgent but important, then that's something that you can schedule time for to work on later. It's something that needs to be on your calendar because it's important that you get that done, but it's not urgent, so it's something that can be done later in the week or next week. If it comes at you and it's urgent but it's not important to you, that's likely something that you can delegate to somebody else. So you'll look to find somebody else who can take on that task so that you can focus on what's urgent and important now, or what's not urgent but still important. And then finally, you've got tasks that come at you that are not urgent and not important. And these are things you just need to say no to. And so the saying that I've developed for myself is if something comes at me that is not urgent and important, I'm going to say one of 3 things. I'm either going to say no if it's not urgent and not important. I'm going to say not now if it's not urgent but is important. Or I'm going to say not me if it's not urgent, but I'm sorry, if it is urgent, but it's not important. That's something I'm going to look to delegate to somebody else. So again, it's my 3 responses are no, not now, or not me. No to the things that are not important, not urgent. Not now to the things that are not urgent, but are important. And not me to the things that are urgent, but not important.
Yeah, and that is super cool. A little bit confusing for my head.
Sure, I get it. Again, it's easier to visualize if you Google Eisenhower Box, but essentially, it's if it comes at you and it's not urgent and important, you need to say no, not now, or not me. If it's something that can be done later, it's a not now. If it's something that can be done by somebody else, it's a not me, and you find who else can do it. Or you're just saying no to that thing because this doesn't take precedence over what is already on your to-do list.
And I think this is a very good tool working in corporate America, that things come at you, right? Other teams bring it to stuff, and you know, different things can jump in front of you and be a priority for them, but that's not a priority for you. So yes, you'll be able to help, but maybe not now. I love that thought process. The next step would be to do the hardest thing first, right? Just get it done. The hardest thing usually means the things you don't want to do it. You know you have to do it, but from some reason, you don't want to do it because you're either afraid, you've never done it, you're insecure. Just if you know you got to do it, if that's going to take you closer to your vision, to your goals, go ahead and do those first. That is going to free up that energy leak in your mind, not reminding you all the time that you got to get that done. It's going to take away so much of emotional energy that keeps you thinking of that thing that you don't want to do it, but you got to do it, but you don't want to do it, and you have all those feelings. So that will go away as well, and it will open up the space in your calendar. And also, you're going to grow confident in that thing because of there's so much emotional attached to it. It means you're afraid of doing something. So yeah, just do it, and you're going to grow into it.
Mark Twain has a really great quote related to that. He says, if it's your job to eat a frog, it's best to do it first thing in the morning. And if it's your job to eat two frogs, it's best to eat the biggest one first. So the frogs, obviously, that's a kind of a disgusting analogy, but you get it, right? Eating a frog is a hard thing that you've got to do.
Yes, that's so gross.
And if that's what you have to do, he's recommending that you do it first thing in the morning because you'll get that thing out of the way and then everything else for the rest of your day will seem easy in comparison. And that's why eating the big frog comes first as well, because eating the small frog will seem easier in comparison after you've already finished the big frog.
One of the things I learned from myself when I started this journey of, you know, a few years ago, it was, you know, becoming a mom and having more responsibilities, different stuff coming up, and not having so much control of my time. So if you're in that season of your life, if you're in the season of your life that there are things happening that it makes you feel like you don't have so much control of your life, one thing I learned is to be flexible. Because what I learned that matters the most to me after I had kids, it was my kids. So even though you can plan all that you can in your calendar, but there will be days where my kids are sick and everything that I planned is out. So that was really hard for me at the beginning. But I learned that because those things are scheduled in my calendar, I can reschedule them. And that's all I need to do. Find a different time to take care of those tasks. They are not going to be lost. They're not going to be forgiven. You're just rescheduling them. So if things pop up, they're out of your control, they're taking you away from the things that you want to achieve, just be flexible. Just take a breath. Understand what's happening in the moment. What is most important at that time? Do you need it to drop it all and go take care of this other thing? Just do it. And then when you come back, you do the other things. I love having time management, organization, and all of that. But another thing is God's plans. You can plan as much as you can. If God's plans are different than yours, you're going to have to shake it all off and go with it or fight against it. And it's not going to be good for you. So having that space opened, right? Have that time with God to hear and understand that your plans are aligned with the vision he has for you, with the things that he wants you to be doing in your life. It's very important. And then everything else that you're planning, that you're
creating habits, that your core values, everything that we have been talking about here, it will bring you into the right direction. You're not trying to fight against your own beliefs. You're not trying to fight against God's plans for your life and the good plans that He has for you because of you saw something in somebody else's that you thought you wanted. You're becoming aligned, purpose, right? You're purposefully and intentionally planning everything for the plans that God has for you.
So good. Great.
Drop right. The mic.
Yeah, that's going to do it for this episode. Thank you for joining us. Hope that you'll stay on this journey with us. Marie and I are getting a lot out of preparing these episodes and walking through them with you. We hope that you're getting a lot out of it as well. So until next time, God bless.
See you next time.
Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you being here. If you enjoyed this episode, please review, like, subscribe, and share it with someone you think would benefit from it. You can also connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. Just search for Legacy Minded Leadership on your preferred platform. You can also email us directly at legacymindedleadership@gmail.com. If you have any questions or if you're interested in learning more about individual coaching with me or Maria. Until next time, stay focused on your purpose and remember that God loves you and He has great plans for your life.